And I want to read just a little bit more of the text to give us a little bit of context to the text. Matthew chapter 16 and beginning at verse number 21 through verse number 26. The Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I want to lift a lesson from the last part of that verse, number 26, when Jesus asked the very prolific question, What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now I'm going to use a lesson tonight for just the next few minutes, the eternal exchange. The eternal exchange. I don't know about the other ministers, but it seems to me as we've been dealing with the whole idea of Jesus and his prolific principles, I read one and I say, boy, this is one of the most prolific things you could ever read. Then I come to the next one. No, this is the most prolific thing. It seems like every one that you read and you begin to study, it becomes even more and more prolific, the wisdom of Jesus. And what I find so prolific about the question that Jesus asked here in verse number 26, it seems that he sums up life in one question. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There are lots of books that are written by individuals and authors and philosophers where they attempt to come to some sort of understanding of what life is all about. Existentialism and all these other forms of thinking which attempt to come to a true and foundational understanding of what our priorities in life are all about, and volumes have been written about what is life's purpose and what is my reason for existence and what are the things that I should be really looking for and searching for. And Jesus cuts through all the fray and says, What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, he's a master teacher. When he can sum it all up, not even in just a statement, he sums it up in a question. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There are lots of things that we can be involved in. There are lots of things that we can put our priorities toward or give our attentions to. But Jesus says, but listen, what are you going to give in exchange for your soul? And I think it's very important for us to look at the whole idea of the soul. I think a few weeks ago, I dealt with matters of the heart, and the heart and the soul are closely linked together. The soul is the breath of life. Don't you remember all the way back in Genesis? The Bible said God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The soul is that immaterial and invisible part of me. It is the seat of the individual by which one perceives and one reflects and one desires. It is the seat of my will, and it is the seat of my purpose. The soul is something that is distinguished from the spirit of a man. We are body, soul, and spirit. It is something that is distinguished from the body. If you will, at the those that are working the machine up there, if you will get 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23. When we think about this soul and think about this body that we have, look at what Paul says. He said, and the very God of peace, he says, sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole what? Spirit. And what? Soul. And what? Body. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of Christ. We can identify the fact that we are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. Paul talked about this as well when he talked about this body and talked about this soul. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. When you look at this life, it's very important that we recognize that we can't put our trust in this world, and neither do we fear men, because there's something greater than this body that we have. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28, he said, fear not man, which can destroy the body, but fear God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. We didn't have a fear of God, not a fear of man, and recognize that I have this precious possession, which is my soul. Not only do I have a soul that exists, but this soul is something that is going to exist after death. I think I brought this point out before, maybe in a lesson before, but have you ever stopped to think that you will always be? Long after your eyes are closed in death, long after, maybe if they put you in the cemetery and put the grave marker, and maybe after many, many years have passed, and maybe even after all the people that knew you are gone as well, long after, you will still continue to exist. In so much as I was born into this existence, I will always be. Even if I desire, I can't say to God, God, I think I've had enough. Just take me out of it. Just zap me out of existence. I don't want to be here anymore. I understand how good heaven must be, but I don't want that. I just want you to take me out of existence. You can't do that. I will always be. Even now, even though my body is temporal, even at this very moment, I am an eternal being, because I have a soul. And that within itself gives us a mindset that we should have as it relates to this life. I cannot base my existence in this temporal world, given the fact that I am an eternal being. Yes, my body has a beginning point and an ending point. Yes, I was born into this world at a certain point, and I'm going to die at a point in which God has determined. But in spite of that, I am going to always be. That's why he said, don't fear them that can destroy the body. You fear the one God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Bible talks about the fact that there is an afterlife. Don't you remember over in Luke chapter 16 and verse number 22 and 23? Don't you remember the story of the rich man? Luke chapter 16, verse 22 and verse number 23. Look what it said. It came to pass that the beggar died and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Next verse. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. After he died, he continued to exist. And you see, that's what lets me know that my soul is so valuable. Because the soul is going to continue to exist. There are a lot of folk today, they take more care of their body than they do of their soul. Why is the soul so valuable? I'm going to give you just a few reasons that it's so valuable. First of all, it is valuable because it was made in God's image. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26 and verse number 27. When I think about God and his eternal design for each and every one of us, if you will, put Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 on the board. The Bible said, let us make man high in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the earth and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, it's interesting that God said, let us make man in our image. He couldn't have been talking about the body because God is spirit. He was talking about the spiritual part of man. He said, let us make him in our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish and over the fowl and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing upon the earth. The soul of man is valuable in that it was made in the image of God. That's one reason. I believe there's a second reason that the soul of man is valuable. It's valuable because it is the part of us by which we have much control. What do you mean by that, Brother Worthy? Most of the things that have to do with this body is based on genetics. Now, you might be able to exercise a little bit, you might be able to do some other things to change your body, but most of it, once you come here in that genetic code, see, my genetic code was somehow off because I was supposed to be 6'2". I can't change it. But when it comes to my soul, I can do some things to change it, and I can do some things to change it by incorporating those things that I find within the Word of God. I can change my disposition. I can change my attitude. I can change my character by incorporating those things which I find within the Word of God. Another reason that the soul is so valuable, and again, I made this point just a moment ago, because it does not cease to exist at death. The soul is going to continue. If you will, at the top up there, if you will, get Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 7. Solomon writes about this soul and writes about those things that are associated with this soul as we live upon this earth. The Bible said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Someone said the intrinsic value of this body is somewhere around $7 or $8. We're just prefabricated dust. And we're going to go back to the earth. He said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. God is going to return, require that the spirit come back to him. And because it doesn't cease to exist at death, it's a reason that we need to exist or evaluate all things that come into our lives. We need to evaluate all things, possessions and decisions and actions from an eternal perspective. From the soul's viewpoint, I don't look at life just from the vantage point of my eyes. My eyes can deceive me. Amen. I have to look at life from the vantage point of my soul. Will this decision positively affect my soul? Young people, when you get ready to get married, you just don't look at how beautiful she looks, how handsome he is. You look at it from the vantage point, how would this person affect my soul? If you are married, and maybe someone comes across and for just a split moment they cause you to think some things, you don't just follow what your eyes and desire tell you to follow. You have to follow what's good for your soul. The soul does not cease to exist at death. Here's another reason that the soul is so valuable: because of the cost that it took to redeem it. If you read at the top, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18 and verse number 19, what was the price that was required to redeem our souls from the wrath of God's judgment? What was the price that it took? Look at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, and give me verse number 18, if you will. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. And it's interesting that he said you were not redeemed with corruptible things, because many people in life are willing to exchange their soul for corruptible things. But you weren't redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. Verse number 19. He said, but with the precious. It makes sense that I was redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know what that says? It says several things. First of all, it says that I was redeemed with a priceless product, the blood of Jesus Christ. And in so much as I was redeemed with a priceless product, that being the blood of Jesus Christ, that says how much God thought about me and how valuable he thought that I must be, because there was nothing else that could redeem me but the blood of Jesus Christ. The cost that it took to redeem me. When I think about the soul as well, the question then is asked, If we go back to Matthew chapter 16, what will a man or what will one give in exchange for his soul? When we talk about that word exchange, it simply says the word exchange pictures a business transaction in which one is bartering for something else. Barter means to trade or exchange one commodity for another. Thus, it means to trade your soul for something else. There are certain things that people trade their souls for. For some people, it is earthly riches or fame. I want you to get 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10. You know, when I think about this particular verse of scripture and the fact that some individuals trade their soul for money or fame, I had an experience several years ago. There was one of the members here at Greenville Avenue who had worked for an individual. I don't even see her in the audience. But she had worked for a man for many, many years. This man was a multimillionaire. And she came to me one day, she said, "Brother Worthy, my boss just passed away. And he had no church affiliation." And she said, "Brother Worthy, would you mind preaching his eulogy?" I didn't even know the man, but I agreed to do it. When we got there, all of his friends, which by all account were also very well-to-do men, during the time of comments, they came up one after another talking about the events that they were involved in, going to South America on hunting trips, buying $200 Cuban cigars, all sorts of things which were indicative of great wealth. There was no mention of God. There was no mention of any relationship with God. But these men had come to a point in their lives where it seemed to me that their God was their things. And they exchanged any desire to have a relationship with God for simply having things and enjoying pleasure and enjoying stuff. But then when it came time to die, "I want somebody to say something to me." I looked at all of them and I said several things, and I said Solomon's words in Ecclesiastes. I said, "Now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man." You see, when a person dies, you don't die rich or poor. You die saved or lost. Many people, and you don't have to be rich to exchange your soul for the pleasures of sin. There's some poor folk who have done just as much exchanging as a millionaire. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Young people, don't let the pleasures of sin The things that seem fun, the things that seem enticing, don't let them take away from the riches of a lifelong relationship with God. Don't let a passing pleasure, and let me tell you something, Satan is very good in selling pleasure. He's very good. Say, oh, won't you just try this just one time? Won't you just go on and do? You can always get back to the Lord. You can always make a turnaround. You're not really coming out. You're just doing a little something right now. Satan is good at selling that. Don't let him allow you to make an exchange. Because for some people, a temporary exchange can wind up being a lifelong exchange. There have been many people that have been caught up in an exchange that caught them up and caught them up so deeply that they couldn't get their way back. You know, sometimes it might be riches and fame. Sometimes it might be the passing pleasures of sin that we exchange for. Now, this one might be a little bit closer to home. Sometimes many will trade their soul through simple, lackadaisical attitude toward those things that we know that we should be working toward and being. We've got to stay vigilant. If I'm not vigilant, vigilant in my study, as Brother Gibbs said this morning, vigilant in my prayer life, vigilant in my service to the Lord, it's very easy to gradually, and sometimes even without knowledge, be slowly but methodically exchanging my life and my relationship with God to a lifetime of mediocrity. I got to be diligent in my life. Church, how valuable is your soul? How valuable is your soul? I looked at it we turned to it just a moment ago, but I want to turn to it again. Look at Luke chapter 16, and we're getting ready to close this out. Luke chapter 16, and looking at verse number 22 through verse number 24. We read 16 through 24. Well, let's start at verse number 24. The Bible said, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know, he didn't call back and say, send some of my money that I had. I need some of those assets that I left behind. He said, give me some water that I may cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. And not only that, look at what it said. And I know we've looked at this scripture loads and loads of time before, but I think it's very important for us to go back every now and then and look at the significance of these scriptures and these texts. In verse number 26, it said, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. That's why it's an eternal exchange. Once I'm on the other side, it cannot be changed. And you know, that's mind-boggling to me. Most of the things that we come across in this life, at some point we can change them. At least alter them somewhat. But when we go into eternity, it is irrevocable. Think about being cast into time, which shall never end, and situation that can never change. Time that will never end, situation that will never change. Sometimes I've heard people say, those who have exchanged their lives or their soul for some sin or some pleasure in this earth. And I've heard people say very flippantly, well, I'll just die and go to hell. You don't understand. People that say that, they don't understand. It's one of the most ignorant statements that any individual can make. I will just die. No, you won't just die. You won't just go to hell. It's a place of continued torment forever and ever. And I really believe that part of the torment, not just the pain and the discomfort, I believe that part of the torment, have you ever had a situation where you looked at something and said, oh, I wish I'd have done that differently? And many times you can go back and change what you did, but think about those times, but think about eternity, where you've got that lingering, burning thought, I could have done something better, but yet I'm now locked into eternity, and I can't change. It's an eternal exchange. But by contrast here, look at the saints that John writes about. If you will, get Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, and looking at verse number 13 through verse number 17. Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 13 through verse number 17. John writes about those souls that were saved. The Bible said, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, said, what are these? Or which of these arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Where did they come from? Next verse. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. They didn't exchange. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Next verse. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Next verse. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat. In other words, they're in a wonderful surrounding. Next verse. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of water. And oh, I love this. God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. You can't afford to lose your soul. If you lose it, you lose all. To the faithful, it's going to be a place of eternal rest. It's going to be an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away. It is that city that's built by the living God. But on the other hand, if I do exchange my soul for that incorruptible life, it's going to be where the wicked will be tormented day and night forever. It's where you will bemoan the great foolishness for having sold your soul for such petty things and such a petty life. The eternal exchange. Jesus again put it very succinctly. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, you don't trade a depreciating asset for something that's increasing. Amen. In value. Bible said this outward man perisheth, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. I'm getting older, and that's all right, because I'm getting better. I'm getting older, and I can't do all the things that I used to do, but that's all right. This inward man is growing in value.
Amen.
Every day, it has a greater appreciation for those things which are to come. And when I can develop a greater appreciation for the things which are to come, I'm not going to trade that for a life that is going down in value.
Amen.
Who knows what this world is going to be in another 10 and 15? I sometimes stop and I think about this world. I think about the world for our children. What kind of world, what kind of country are they going to inherit in the next few years? You don't know, we don't know. But I tell you what, young people and everybody, you put your trust in God. And it makes no difference what direction that this world goes in. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The eternal exchange. Make sure you make a good exchange eternally. And that's a lesson for you tonight. Oh, I've gone a whole lot longer than I hoped to. I say a short sermon, didn't I? Y'all please forgive me. But if there's anyone here this evening who needs to come to Christ, hear the word of God, believe the same, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, go down to the watery grave of baptism, arise to walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
And now give your life for the rest of your life and your existence on this earth, and one day your soul will be preserved in the presence of God. If you're here tonight and you are a member of the Lord's body, maybe you have not. Maybe you in some way have exchanged your soul for some of the pleasures of this earth. Don't let that be the case. Don't allow yourself to go back and forth in that type of life. You can get caught and cause yourself to have an eternal exchange that could cost you your soul. If you're in that position, come forth and let us pray for you tonight. Whatever your need might be, if you will, please come as we get together, stand and sing a song of encouragement.
Why did my Savior come to earth?